Oh, sorry.
Praise the Lord. If you've got a Bible with you tonight, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, tonight it's not an awkward subject to talk about, but it's a subject that some people don't like. Some people like to pick holes with or point fingers with or something like that. And it's not a subject that we get to talk about a lot in here. But chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, we're going to be going through it. I'm going to do chapter 8. Joe will be doing chapter 9 next week. Talks about the church's giving. Now, there's a specific situation that's going on here in 2 Corinthians. I'll give you a little bit of background before we read, so you understand what Paul's talking about. What's happening is Paul speaks to the Corinthian church, the church of Corinth, about giving financially. Now remember this, part of the Christian spirit, Christian art, Christian love, Christian works is to give. Is to give. All the major charities that's all over the world, is most of them are Christian charities. Because it's within the Christian's art to give. And there's one thing that we have to keep in mind, is that as Christians, we give our heart to the Lord, yeah? We all give our heart to the Lord. We give our minds. We give our marriages and our families and our children to the Lord. We give our circumstances and our problems. We give everything to the Lord. But one of the last things to get saved on a travelling man is his pocket. Now, that's not to say I know this church as give. I know brothers and sisters that put their hands in their pockets and give whenever there's been a need. I know there's brothers and sisters in here who tithe. I know there's men and women who give. But that is something that we should be rewarded for. It's something that's part of Christianity. If I tell someone about Jesus, I don't get a badge for it, do I? Well, we don't get a badge for giving neither. It's part of Christianity. And Paul is talking here to the Corinthian church about giving financially and making good on their pledge. They've already made a pledge in 1 Corinthians to give financially to the work of the Lord. And what it's basically for is to help the Jewish Christians at Jerusalem. Now, the first church was in Jerusalem. The pastor of that church was James, the brother of Jesus Christ, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. But the Jewish Christians there had come under such fierce persecution from Rome and from the other Jews that they were completely outcast. Some was put in prison, others had been put to death, they'd been beaten, they'd been driven out from the marketplaces, the dealing places, their businesses are closed down. None of the other Jews would deal with them or have anything to do with them because they believed in this false Messiah. They've become Christians. Christianity for them, like a lot of brothers and sisters all around the world, come at a great cost. Like, one of the biggest things I had to worry about when I got saved here in England was people was going to call me a div. That was about it. Do you know what I mean? But your brothers and sisters in other countries are getting killed for their faith. Slaughtered. Beat, whipped. And this is what was going on there. And the brothers and sisters at the church in Jerusalem had come under such great persecution, lost their business, and they got so low financially, they were begging for bread, they were starving. So Paul had set out, said to all the other churches, right, put a little aside each week, so when I come, you might have something to give, that we might help the brothers and sisters back here who are suffering, who haven't got the abundance that you've got. And he's come to a point now where he's chastised the Corinthian church, he's rebuked them, and there's people there like Judaizers, these false cult leaders who are there causing problems in Jerusalem, in Corinth. Paul's testimony, not through his own fault, but the people ain't looking upon him like they used to. He's had to defend his ministry a few times, he's had to chastise them, he's had to tell them that he loves them and all the work that he did, he's had to remind them of who he is and what he'd done amongst them, that he never took nothing from them. And now he's got to ask them, do you remember that time you made a pledge and you said you were going to give to the work of the brothers and sisters? Now it's come time you make good on that pledge. And it's, I think it's a bit of an awkward, I don't know, it seemed like to me it's a bit of an awkward thing, a conversation for Paul to bring up. But it's these two chapters talking about it. So, many things have changed for the Christians there at Jerusalem, but Paul encourages all the churches throughout the given areas to give because they lack basic food and clothing, basically. It got that bad. So let's start off here, look, chapter 8, verse 1, and let's look at Paul, what Paul's saying, what he's going to talk about. And he's going to talk about, in this first little bit, that they should give. This is the point, that they should give. They should remember the promise and the pledge that they've made and see it through. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches in Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift of fellowship and the ministering of the saints. And not only as we had hoped at first, they gave themselves to the Lord, but then they also gave themselves to us by the will of God. We urge Titus that as he had begun, so he should also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and in diligence and in love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." So Paul's saying to the churches, the saying to the church here, that look, Macedonia is an area a bit far away up in the north. It's a different area than Corinth. But it's a church far away from where Corinth is. Now, the Corinthian church was very wealthy. They had full and plenty. They wasn't coming under that sort of persecution. They was allowed, they believed in so many different gods anyway. It seems like they wasn't coming under the same persecution as they was at Jerusalem and other areas. But he's saying, look, the churches in Macedonia, which were a long way away from the Corinthians, they still give to the work, to those who lacked at Jerusalem and the other people who lacked and the other situations where it needed to be given. But he's saying, they've had a lot more persecution than what you've had. The churches in Macedonia was very poor, they never had a lot, and greatly persecuted for their faith. And he's saying, they still give. They still give. They were still able and still willing to give to the work of the Lord financially. And listen up, what he was trying to do is making a point. He's not, remember, through this, Paul isn't trying to make them guilty. Later on, he says, "No, I'm asking you this, not by command, but testing your faith. Shh, children, shh." He said, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm not giving you a command to do this, but I'm just testing your love. That all the other churches do this same thing. I'm seeing if you'll do the same thing, because you have promised to do this, and it's important. Paul's seeing this through. He spends two chapters talking about this. But as Christians, we can serve the Lord by meeting needs, and sometimes those needs are financial. As Christians, we can tend to think that, I think for us, for giving, and I know, look, and I'll say this again, because I don't want it to be like this, that this message is about giving and putting your hand in your pocket. But I don't want it to be like they're begging for money. Because the truth of the matter is, we're not begging. And the truth of the matter is, if someone said to me, "I don't want to give," and I've said it to brothers before, I say, "God don't want your money, keep it for yourself. Don't worry about it." But there should be a part of us that wants to give. But it's how we view giving. I know in my own life, I think that sometimes we can think our giving should be based on our circumstances or how our life was going at the time. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Well, if I do a nice bit of work and I pay all my bills and I put my shopping and we do a bit of this and we do a bit of that, if I've got anything left, I'll give the Lord something out of that. That's not how we should give. We shouldn't give a weight to give out of our abundance. We should be willing to give. Paul's saying here that these other churches give and they had nothing. So how much more should you give to the Corinthians when you've got full and plenty of everything? But it's how we view giving. Sometimes I view giving like, if I've got an overflow, if there's a little bit of an overflow, not something left over, I'll give something God out of that. But the Bible talks about the woman who gave the copper coin. She gave everything that she had. In fact, it said it was the last bit of sustenance, the last bit of money that she had. And Jesus said that God has took more notice of that than anything else has been given here today. Because she'd given her poverty. She gave what she couldn't afford to give. And I think sometimes we have to accept and say, Lord, I can't wait for my circumstances to change before I become the type of person to give. I had a brother say to me once, I say, that brother gives well. And they said, well, he should give, he's a millionaire. I don't think that's got anything to do with it. I really don't. Because if I give a tenner and he gives £1,000, God don't bless him more than he blesses me. I still have my blessing because I'll give him a good heart. Because I'll give in the right manner. It's not about who should give more. It's just about having the heart to give. And this is what Paul's speaking to them about. You've made this pledge, you've made this commitment. Giving is important when we have plenty, but it's even more important when we don't have much. We can't wait until we've got plenty before we are willing to give, because we ain't always got plenty. And part of Christianity is sacrifice. And listen, look, there's heaps of testimonies I can share with you. In my own life, there's been times I've been in great need, and I haven't told no one. And I've had brothers and sisters come to me and give me a love gift. And I thank God for it at the time. It's paid bills, it's done things, it's put shopping in the cupboard. And there's been times I've been needing things, and I've been able to give for the help of somebody else. Because surely as Christians, that's what we do, don't we? That's what we do. I thank God for them things. I thank God that I was... And let me tell you something. It's easier to give than it is to receive. It's easier to give than it is to receive. But surely as Christians, we should be able to do them things. It says in verse 4, it says that they're imploring us with much urgency that we will receive the gift of fellowship in ministering to the saints. And not only that we had hope, what we had hoped at first, but gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete the grace that is in you as well. But you abound in everything. Faith, you abound in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love for us. So see that you abound in this also. Paul is saying that, look, the churches in Macedonia, they never had nothing. They were as poor as rooks. But they begged us, come, because we've got something we want to give to you. We want to help in this situation. He said they was more than willing. Beyond willing, he said. Come, we've got something we want to give you. They was more than willing. More than willing than what they'd hoped. He said, look, yous abound in everything. You abound in the way that you talk, the way that you live. You abound in your love for us. There's loads of things you're crashing the gate at 98 in. You're really moving on as Christians. You're really doing well. But don't lack in this area. Abound in this area as well. Make sure that you think about this and you consider this area. Make sure that you abound also in giving like the other churches do. Because these things are important. And brothers and sisters, they are important. To give to the work of the Lord, I want to tell you this tonight, it is important. Your tithes are important. And I don't want to be like, oh, they're talking about money again. I find it very difficult to speak about. Because as travelling people, you get accused of wanting saying this or saying that for this reason or that reason. But look, there's spiritual people in here. People who have known me for a long time and have been in this church for a long time, and I know yous. It's important that you not only give when there's a need, but that you tithe in this church. That you give to the work of the Lord. The money that pays for this all don't grow on trees, does it? We don't pull it out of fresh air. The minibus and things to be need to be paid for. Sean's our treasurer. Stand up, Sean. Just so they can see it. Stand up. Sean's our treasurer. You want to know about the money that comes in and out of here? Come and speak to him. Right or not? He'll tell you how much it is to run these halls and do the things that need to be done. It's important that we give, but we don't make excuses. I think that's what Paul's trying to get these away from. They've said they're going to give, they've made a pledge, they've made their mind up, but they ain't yet give. And listen, it's very easy for me to say, I'll give. But then when the time comes, it materialises. And I think, for me personally, I find the best way to give to the work of the Lord is my tithes. When I give that money, and I put it in that bag, that's for the Lord to use or whatever they see fit. And I'm one of the persons who might make decisions on how that gets used. But I know that gets used properly, like in all our churches. And I think it's important to tithe and give to the work of the Lord. As I said before, as Christians, he's saying, look, make sure you abound in this area. And as Christians, we can give our time, like I said before, our effort, our marriage, our families. We give to the Lord. We give everything over the Lord. Our situations, our hardships. But it's very, very hard, like I said before, as travelling gypsy people, give our pocket. And I do think that people struggle with that. I think in this area of my life, I need to put under the microscope. In my own life, I definitely know I need to do. And I give. I do tithe. I give in this church. And I believe I give what's right. I work it out, what I've had, and I believe I give what's right. I give 10% of what I earn. But I think, I don't get a badge for that, do I? I don't get a badge for that. I think a lot of brothers and sisters do the same. But I think it's something we definitely need to put under the microscope, all of us as Christians, and say, are we giving what we should be giving? Are we giving what we should be giving? He said, you're bound in this area. Abound in this area also. Make sure you crash the gate at 98 in this area. Make sure you fulfill this area as well. He says in verse 8, for I speak not a commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love and the diligence of others. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Now Paul is saying here, I'm going to give you a pattern of why we should give. Because he knew there were probably going to be people who say, why have I got to give? Why should I give though? They seem like they're alright. Why have I got to keep putting my hand in my pocket and giving all the time? And maybe it seemed like at the time that they was asking for this quite a lot. But there was a great need going on up and down the country where brothers and sisters was begging for bread because they'd become Christians. Their businesses had failed because of their Christianity. Because they'd become Christians. But Paul says here, that gives them a pattern of why they should give. Paul says, look, I'm not commanding you to give. But he said, I'm testing your love for the saints and for us. And he reminds them, the reason why they should give is because Jesus gave himself. He said, Jesus Christ, listen, remember this. Jesus was in heaven being worshipped by angels. King of kings and Lord of lords. In heaven being worshipped by angels. He became a baby. He was born as a baby. Lived a normal life. Never come as a prince or a king demanding anyone should follow him. Lived a very normal life and gave himself. Became poor. Was crucified and whipped and beaten. That I might become rich in his righteousness. In faith and in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, but listen, let me hear you say, it's good to look at brothers and sisters and say, look at that brother and sister and how well they're going on for the Lord. I wish I was more like them. They're great encouragement. I wish I could be the same. There's nothing wrong with looking at brothers and sisters and saying, I wish I could be a little bit more like them if they're serving the Lord. But the pattern of Christianity is not just one another, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our example. And here is the example for giving. He said, because he laid his life down, he became poor, that you might become rich in him. This is the reason why we give. Jesus Christ is our example, not other people, because it's very easy for us to say, well, I would give if they give. That man's a millionaire. How comes I'll give a score and he's only give a score? What difference does it make? Who's giving what? Are you giving? My heart under the microscope. What difference does it make? Who's a millionaire in the way? Do you give? Because I tell you what I can do. I can build my own little house and make it all tight and cushy for myself and put a roof on it. I'm all dry and warm. And leave everybody else out. Everyone who's outside ain't no good. What I mean by that is that it's very easy to point the finger when it comes to things like this. Well, I would give if they'd give. What difference does it make about anybody else? Brothers and sisters, this is a heart matter. And I pray, like I said the same thing as Paul, this is not a command. I encourage you. Go on and pray to the Lord. Seek God. Ask him what he wants you to give. Where he wants you to give. I heard a man say, as I was studying this, I was reading the commentary, and a man spoke about, he said, the problem is with giving, it's not that we don't have it to give, we do. It's that we think we are giving, when God has already given to us. When I go to work, it's very easy for me to say, I've earned that money. Because I know how to go calling, I know how to get a job, my father's taught me how to go and knock the door, and I know, and I'm clear. I come to realise a long time ago, that unless God provides for me, I can't provide for myself. And I want to encourage you to know this, for the men and the women in here, what you have is given to you by the Lord. What you have is given, you haven't got that, God has given it to you. God has given you the grace and the strength. Without God, I can't lift my head up off the pillar every morning. God gives me the breath in my body. But we're so attached to our own things, we don't want to part with them. Because I've had to work hard to get that. Now let me tell you something, God's given that to you. When you realise what I have has been given to me, it's a lot easier to share it. It's a lot easier to share it. Jesus Christ is our example. He says that in verse 10, and in this I give advice. I'm advising you. It's to your advantage not only to be doing what you began to do and you were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. That as there was a readiness and a desire for it back then, so there also need be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a will in mind, it's acceptable according to what one has, and not what according to one does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. Paul says to the Corinthians, look, you've made up your mind a year ago to give this. You said you was going to make a pledge and you was going to give to the work of the Lord. But a few things have gone on. People's got you here, Paul ain't the same man, don't listen to him, a few other people's left the church, Judaism, a few little problems going on. But you've made up your mind to do this. He said, but now you've made up your mind. You had a willing heart and a willing mind, but now complete it. How many things do we think about doing and never do? Amen? By thinking about it, I've gone on 100 holidays. I ain't actually been on 100 holidays. By thinking about it, I was going to go witnessing and lead 10,000 people to the Lord. I've never done it. How many things do we think about or we say we're going to do and we don't do? But where this is concerned, Paul's saying, look, be people of your word. Be people of your word. You said that you're going to give. Bring it to completion. Actually do it. And brothers and sisters, I think wherever it's concerning giving, concerning our service for the Lord, concerning witnessing, praying for someone. Have you ever said, I'm going to pray for you? Yeah, I'll keep you in prayers. God forgive me. Fell asleep before I even thought of them. Straight asleep. Never thought of them no more after that. Now one was dying. Suffering somewhere. Out. How many things do we think about doing and don't actually do? He's saying, and I think it's important, no matter what we say we're going to do, to be men and women of our word and bring it to completion. You're going to go witnessing, you're going to go visiting, you're going to do something. If you wait for that time, if you wait to have extra time, extra money or extra anything before you serve the Lord, you're never going to serve the Lord. Because what extra time would mean you've got? There ain't enough hours in the day, is there? Especially if you've got a family, you've got children. There's not enough hours in the day for work. I need more coming in, not less. I will say this, and this is not in my notes, but just saying I'm thinking of. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, even before we get to the end of this. God is no man's doubt. You can't outgive God. And what I mean by that is, if you give sake for the glory of the Lord, God bless us. And I know that to be true. God bless us. He's saying actually follow through with it. You decided to do it. Don't just say you're going to do it. Actually do it. He said, I'm not telling you this so you can be burdened and other people's burden could be lighter. They ain't going to have the same problem. I'm writing this to you so that you might have equality. That you might share in the blessing. That you might share in the giving. That it wouldn't just be on these one little group of churches. That all the churches should give. It's following through, isn't it? He's saying, look, follow through, bring it to completion. Actually do what you say you're going to do. Brothers and sisters, whether it's concerning your tithes, whether it's concerning giving in, and listen, I know there's been times we've been called into the corner of this church or I've been in another church and been asked to give. There's been times I haven't had no money on me. But there's been times I've had £20 in my pocket and it might be £20 of the last £60 I've got. And you think, how can I give this? And listen, I think God understands. This one kind of says, it's between you and the Lord. But what we can't do is say that we can never give. What we can't do is saying, I've got to wait till things get better before I can do it. What we can't do, because let me tell you something, I think there is no greater blessing coming your way is that when you give out of poverty. When you give out of abundance, God blesses. But when you give and you ain't got it to give, I think God blesses, right? Because he knows what art you've done it. He's saying, don't let it only just be a decision, but let it be an action. And then he comes down to this. Verse 16 says, but thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you in the heart of Titus. For if he'd not only accepted, for he not only accepted the exhortation, but being diligent, he went to you of his own accord. And we have sent him with other brothers who pray, whose praise in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but he was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself and to show our ready mind. Avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in the lavish gift which is administered by us, providing honourable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of all men. I'll leave it there and he reads down. If anyone inquires of you, tell them that this has been done by godly men and blah, blah, blah. Paul goes on to say, and I'm sending Titus to you, and a godly man also who's praised in the gospel, to collect this gift. So not only am I asking you to make sure you give, I've got a man on the way to collect it. He's coming to collect. So make sure you give it to him. And he's going to collect it on our behalf, that it might be given to those who are in need. And he said, if anyone should question you about the men and their intentions, so what's the money being used for? Who are these men? Why should we give it to them? Remember that who I've sent you, I've sent Titus to you, and the other brother you know, who's been praised for preaching the gospel right throughout every church and every area. These are godly men. He said, if anyone should question the abundance of the gift, like this is too much, it's too much of a gift, this is too much for them, what are they going to do with it? Remember that these are godly men, and you'll be able to see what's done, he said, and not only is it done in the sight of God, but it'll be done in the sight of men. You'll be able to see how this money's been used. These gifts are not given to our old, they're not lavish lifestyles we're trying to help people continue. These are gifts that are needed to keep people alive, to keep them fed and watered and roofs over their heads. And I want to tell you something, that Paul was saying this to them because he knows that when he sends these men there to collect this gift, to put it together with the other gifts and bring it back and give it to where it's needed, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be people who point fingers. There's going to be people who condemn and say, oh, look here. They're on about another message about money. Another message about money. Best one ever heard. Right? The best one ever heard. He went, boy, I'm telling you, he said, all they're after is money. It's all they're after is money. This is where we go witnessing regularly, right? All they're after is money. And I've been in them meetings, Chad. You know them big tent meetings? I was in one. Man's never left Kent. He was in somewhere, one up the country somewhere, right? I was in one, he said, and they said, boy, we don't want that money that rattles. We want that one that folds. And they was taking the dusting ground, boy, and they were so full up of money, they couldn't lift them. They couldn't lift them. I must have missed that meeting, to be true. Right, I must have missed that one. What's this? What's that? We've had the accusations here. We've had accusations here in this church that me and Charles was having the money. A long time ago, very, very early on. After a bit of to and fro, and I said, hang on a minute. I said, how much is our tithes every week? Because we announce how much our tithes are. I think, did we announce our tithes now? We did. We did at the time. But anyone who wants to know how much we collect, come and see Sean after the meeting. He counts it up. You see him counting down the front here, didn't you? He'll tell you how much they've collected. At the time, our tithes was about £100. And what are they now? £2.50, £300, £3.50. Sometimes a £400, sometimes another £1.50. Do you know what I mean? But everyone averages about £2.50 for me, same way. So I said, hang on a minute. I said, so me and Charles are in this for money. We're having the tithes. I said, I drive here 3 times a week from Dartford to the old church site. I said, I've got to put diesel in my motor. I said, it's £1.50. So not only are we corrupt, I said, I'm the worst con man in the world, aren't I? I'm the biggest idiot in the world. Because I'm putting more in diesel than what I'm taking. £75 a piece. When I take my little lot, and the boys was only little at the time, I said, when we go to the Nando's, it's costing more than £40 now, which Nando's still cost me £40 now. I said, it costs me £40 at the Nando's, I've got a score in the tank, that's £60. I'm not driving up and down here all week for £15. Oh, I didn't fault me like that. So you should have fought. He's saying, when we come and collect this money, there's going to be people saying they're using it to live lavish lifestyles. They're doing this, they're doing that. They're using money. And there'll always be them people, brothers and sisters. And you know when they're outside the church, it don't hurt me. But you know when they're inside the church, come on. When they're outside the church, because that's what we all used to say. We're not saved, we don't know Jesus. I couldn't work out why all these people had these changed lives. I thought they were either idiots or they're in it for the money. Whenever there's a gift given or a tithe to the church, there'll always be those who question the godliness of the men it's given to or what they use it on or how much is given. And I've noticed that the people who make them accusations never ever give. They're the greediest people in the world. So I think what the Bible says, it says, to the corrupt, all things are corrupt. And to the pure, all things are pure. I tell you what that means. For someone who thinks, someone who's at it all the time anyway, they think you're at it. They can't believe that you'd live a straight life and you wouldn't do it because you love the Lord. And they wouldn't care if there was £1 million in that bag, it wouldn't make no difference to you because God can see. To the corrupt, all things are corrupt. But to the pure, all things are pure. For those who know and give, brothers and sisters, give with a pure heart. I remember my mother used to say to me, take the rubbish bags out. Go and take all them rubbish bags out. Put them over there. Oh, please, mate. Leave it. If you're not going to do it with a good heart, don't do it at all. If you're going to mum, but leave it. She'd work with me, wouldn't she? You know what I mean? Make you feel guilty. If you're not going to do it with a good heart, don't do it. And I think, listen, I think there's a truth in that. If you're not going to do it with a good heart, don't do it. If you're coming here and you begrudge giving your tithe, this church needs money to run. Don't do it. What God wants here paid for, don't need your money. And I'm talking to the Christians in here tonight. If there comes an opportunity to give, you have an opportunity to give, and you can do it. You can do it. Give. But you can't do it with a good heart. Don't bother. Don't need it. God don't want it. Do things with a pure heart. Don't be the person who points fingers. And does ask the mission. The mission's worth billions. In what? Minibuses and buildings. Leverage got. So how come we got to pay? Leverage got. What difference does it make what Leverage Darwin's got? And they've got tons of money in their bank. The church is all full of millionaires, and that's the truth. What difference does it make? What is Charles Sutton doing? What am I doing? Do I tithe? Do I give? Because you know when God's looking at me, you know the only person he's looking at? Me. And Lord, I want to be pleased with you. I want to be right for you. And I'm not saying I've got this sus. I'm not saying I tithe as I should and I give as I should. And I've got all this financial stuff from a Christian point of view sorted out. I ain't. But what I am, Lord, I've got a willing heart. And I will try and give him the things you want me to give him. And I will try and tithe. And I'll work my money out when I get paid and say, I'll give so much. I'll give me 10%. And I'll try and put it in that bag. When I've got it, I'll try and put it in that bag. Because I know that this is a part of my service. A part of my worship. A part of my Christian life is to give. And brothers and sisters, listen. As I said, I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty. I'm not trying to force anything on anyone. But I would encourage us to do this. Go home and pray about it. And ask the Lord what he wants you to give. To the brothers and the sisters, ask what the Lord wants you to give. I encourage you to say how important it is to give. And how giving has affected my life from a long time ago. There's a book called God's Smuggler. And it's about this man, a man called Dr. Hopper Charles. Brother Andrew, but who was the man who financed him?
Yeah,
Hopkins. Dr. Hopper, they called him, or Father Hopper, or whatever the man's, but the man was called Dr. Hopkins, right? And he financed work all over the world and financed people to go on missionary work in all other countries, communist countries. And what this man used to do was an evangelist, go around with a tent, put a tent up, and he preached the gospel, he planted churches in places. And you can read the books of the people that he raised up. One of these men was a man who was an evangelist, went into Russia and took Bibles into Russia and done a great work, and it was all because of this man helped finance these things. And what he used to do, he had a business and he used to tithe 90%, he used to give 90% of what he earned. Man had a good business, wealthy business, and him and his wife used to live on 10%, and the 90% he'd use for the work of the Lord in buying churches and planting churches and sending missionaries abroad and buying Bibles and tracts and all that sort of thing. And the man done a great work. And I've read books about the people who he's helped do this work. And what did that man do? That man come to Kent and he put a tent up on the green, preached the gospel, and he planted a church. And that church he planted is Dartford Church. Blind Life of Dartford. In fact, if you go in the children's room, there's a stone on the wall saying this church was given and dedicated and financed by Mr. Dr. Hopkins, blah, 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 blah. He put a tent up on the green there, preached the gospel, and planted a church there, and then years later, we ended up with that church, given to us, for the work of the Lord. God had a plan, didn't he? God had a plan. And it was all through giving. That man was, part of his ministry was to give. Now that man probably suffered and went without and had no time, but he'd done it, and that was his burden, and that might be someone's burden there, be it in here. I'm not saying we all got to give 90%, I struggle to give 10%. And that's not the New Testament teaching. The New Testament teaching is those who had, sold what they had and give to them and never. But giving is an important part, and it's something you have to come to terms with. But it's pushed to one side. And for my own life, for my own heart, brothers and sisters, I'm going to go home, put my own heart and my own giving heart and what I give under the microscope, and I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to ask you to do the same. And I think that would be healthy and good for us. Amen? Amen. I just want to encourage us to do that. And listen, next week, chapter 9 talks about how they distributed it and what they've done, and it's more important stuff than it's still again. But pray about it. Got questions, come. In fact, listen, You might have questions tonight, so let's have a question time. Turn it off.